Alvarez versus Walmart.
Good morning. John McDonald for the appellant, Deanne Alvarez, and we would reserve 3 minutes on rebuttal. May it please the court. I would like to direct this court's attention and the majority of my argument this morning to the Pimentel exception. In particular, I'd like to address this court's attention to what occurred at the trial court.
Counsel, let me just certainly be clear. I take it by what you just said is that you acknowledge that the only way you can win is by the exception, correct?
That is our primary argument. You are correct, Your Honor.
Okay. And implicit in that is that the record does not support that there was sufficient notice to the premises owner of the condition that you claim caused the incident, correct?
Well, Your Honor, once the Pimentel exception is found to apply, the question of actual or constructive notice disappears. At that point, the question becomes whether or not the particular hazard that was encountered, in this case, a white creamy substance in the shampoo aisle, was reasonably foreseeable as opposed to, for example, rainwater or mud. And then the second question is whether or not the preventive measures that the store took to ensure that such a hazard did not exist, whether or not those were sufficient. And those questions are questions for the jury. So really, where the trial court erred in reversing itself, and this is an interesting case in which the trial court initially found a material question of fact, and then on reconsideration, reversed itself summarily. Now, we don't know why the trial court reversed itself. There were no new facts that were submitted to the trial court. One can presume that the trial court determined that it was a question of law, that this matter should be dismissed on summary judgment, and that the material question of fact that the trial court initially had found was no longer material. Having said that, I believe that is where the trial court made the error, because the evidence that was presented to the trial court was very different than some of the cases that is being that are being relied upon by Walmart, such as Carlisle v. Safeway. In these particular cases, the progeny of Pimentel has been very careful to explain that the self-service exception does not apply to any grocery store. It does not apply to the entire premises. It applies only in specific and particular areas of an individual store. And in this particular case, I believe that you can read Carlisle consistent with our position. And I would also refer the court to a recent case which came down by Division III in August 3 months ago. And that is the case of Tevay v. Walmart. That came down, Division 2 of August 13 of this year. And it's similar to Carlisle, and it involved, in that particular case, a grab-and-go drink that was spilled 15 feet from the checkout aisle. In Carlisle, of course, that case involved a spill within a cup of shampoo, like in this case, but within a coffee aisle. And both of these decisions, which, granted, were construed against the plaintiff, but in both of those decisions, the courts were careful to point out that it was the location of the spill itself that mattered in applying the exception. In this particular case, we have a spill which occurred in the shampoo aisle. Walmart itself admits within the record that is before this court that the substance on which Ms. Alvarez slipped was, quote, most likely to have been spilled by a customer. That's a Clerk's Papers 124 to 125. The manager of the Health and Beauty Department at the time of Ms. Alvarez's fall stated in her declaration before the trial court that the associates that are on duty within the Health and Beauty Department have several functions, primarily of which include main job duties are the removal of any opened or damaged bottles and to ensure that the lids and bottles are secure, that the contents have not been leaked or spilled. That's at Clerk's Papers 174. Now, there's been a lot of discussion by Walmart that, in fact, they have preventive measures. They have many policies which they employ to ensure that these hazards are not encountered. But the mere existence of policies as a question of fact for the jury is not sufficient to find in Walmart's favor, specifically with respect to CR 56. Having the policies does not guarantee that they're actually being implemented. Now, one could question why, in fact, these policies do not have any record of being implemented if, in fact, they were. I suppose if one is cynical, one could argue that that's by design, if one were so inclined. I am not making that argument, but certainly it's an inference, and it's a negative inference. I believe that a negative inference does exist, that the failure of Walmart to produce any documentation, let alone testimony, that their preventive measures were followed on the day in question leads to a negative inference that they were not, and that a jury could so conclude. And therefore, that is a question of fact that should have been left for the trial. Along with that, the question is whether or not the spill itself occurred in a foreseeable manner. And I say spill, but let me withdraw that characterization.
So what evidence did you present linking the relationship between the hazardous condition, the spill here, and the self-service mold? How is that any different than the section that sells olive oils or vinegars that are generally adjacent to each other?
Sure. The evidence that was submitted by the trial court was that the...
By the trial court?
To the trial court, excuse me, was that Ms. Alvarez had slipped on the substance within the shampoo aisle, which is in the health and beauty department. And we have argued a priority that in the health and beauty department, one can infer or conclude that that is an area of which gels, lotions, and creams are regularly handled.
What evidence did you present? I know that's your argument and your inference, but you have to have facts from which a reasonable inference can be drawn. What were the facts that established that?
Well, the facts that exist is that Walmart itself, through the declaration of its employees, admitted that there had been similar spills in the past. There had not been many, but there had been similar spills in the past.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors. Rosemary Moore for Walmart. I would first want to take issue with counsel's last statement in that as to the allegation that there were similar spills in the past. The only evidence that has been presented is that there was one, that there was two accidents in the past 3 years in the health and beauty section, and only one of those two accidents involved a beauty product. The other was some chocolate. So I do not believe that rises to similar spills or similar accidents in the past, because you have one in the past 3 years. And as we argued in our materials, the appellant has failed to produce any evidence that justifies applying the self-service exception in this case. And the case law is very clear that you do need to have some evidence that it is inherently foreseeable. Otherwise, every self-service store, every part of every self-service store would require the self-service exception to be implemented, and that is not the law in Washington. And here the plaintiff has failed to come forward with any evidence apart from conclusory statements which are inadmissible. And for the reasons stated in our briefing, we would ask the court to affirm the dismissal of this case. Walmart showed the absence of any evidence to support the plaintiff's claim. She had no evidence that Walmart had actual or constructive notice of the spill. She did not know how it had got there or how long it had been there. Walmart's housekeeping practices of regular inspections was in place, and Walmart took reasonable steps to prevent injuries to its customers, and the declarations of the managers support that. And all a defendant has to do is to show the absence of evidence supporting the plaintiff's claim. The defendant does not have to disprove the plaintiff's claims. The plaintiff had to show there was a material issue of fact as to all three elements, and this she failed to do. There was no evidence that Walmart had created the spill or had notice of the spill, or that they had constructive notice of the spill. And there is no evidence that Walmart's staff did not carry out regular inspections on the day in question.
Well, there was some evidence of that. Didn't the plaintiff testify or at least offered evidence that there was no Walmart employees had been seen within that area for some fairly lengthy period of time?
I don't believe that that's what the record actually shows, Your Honor. I think that the plaintiff walked into the aisle. She walked down the aisle. She slipped as she was walking towards the object that she'd come to get. That she then sat there for a few minutes and then went to a different area outside the pharmacy where her daughter obtained some help and called for the manager, who arranged for the spill to be cleaned up. And from where she was sitting, she couldn't see the area where she had slipped. And so there really isn't evidence that there was no one in the aisle for half an hour. Because she was sitting somewhere else. And also, when she was sitting there, she simply said that nobody came up to ask or inquire about the accident other than the assistant manager. So I don't believe that the record supports that. And in any event, she has produced no evidence that these practices, that these hourly inspections were insufficient, or that more frequent visual observations were insufficient. So therefore, she has really failed to produce any material evidence to rebut Walmart's motion in this case. She has produced some speculation that the practices were not carried out, but you can't rebut summary judgment on such speculation. And Walmart, simply because an accident happens, doesn't mean that Walmart was at fault. Walmart is not an insurer that an accident cannot take place. Do you have any further questions?
No.
So I would ask the court to affirm the dismissal of this case because the appellant has simply failed to present any evidence that of the elements of her claim, as she must do to rebut summary judgment in this case. And I have nothing further if you have no further questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your Honors, the cases since Pimentel have done one thing uniformly. They have narrowed the Pimento exception, and they have sought to define how it's to be applied. Each specific case discussed in both of the briefs before this court address various findings by the appellate and the Supreme Courts in this state as to how the Pimento exception is limited and how it is narrowed. There are inferences which can be drawn by the facts of this case, but the reality is that in looking at the case law discussing the Pimento exception, it is very consistent in one particular area, and that is what constitutes a self-service area. It's not the entire store. It's a particular location of a store. It's not a common area in a mall, such as in Ingersoll. It's not a men's clothing department area of a store where coffee was spilled. It specifically focuses on the nature of the product that is being sold and the customer's actions in terms of the customer's interaction with that particular product. And I will just read from the recent Tevay v. Walmart decision.
Do you have a cite for that?
I don't. It was handed down in August, on August 13th. It was a published decision by Division II.
Okay, thank you.
The self-service areas include locations where customers serve themselves, goods are stocked, and customers handle the grocery items, or where customers otherwise perform duties that the proprietor's employees customarily performed. The Pimento rule does not apply to the entire area of the store in which customers serve themselves. There must be a relation between the hazardous condition and the self-service mode of operation of the business. And that relation, that nexus, exists in this case. The shampoo aisle is where one is more likely than not to find a substance on the floor that resembles that described by Ms. Alvarez. Ms. Alvarez did reach her own conclusion that it seemed to be a hair product, but she was clear in her testimony that it is a white, creamy substance of the type found in a hair product. Now, when one looks at the case law discussing where self-service exceptions apply, clearly there is a nexus that exists here between the shampoo aisle and the spill of what potentially could be a conditioner or a cream of some sort, a health and beauty sort of product, because that is precisely where this occurred. There is also more support for Ms. Alvarez's position within cases that discuss not only the location, but also...
Counsel, could you spell... is it Covey or Tovey?
Yes, it is T-A-V-A-I.
Thank
V. Walmart.
T-A-V-A-I. Thank you.
I see my time is up.
Thank you, Counsel. Thank you.